MZTV.
Welcome to a new week of MZTV. I want to talk to you today about the celestial world, what they're doing. They have a lot of time on their hands. How are they using it? What role do we have to play in that? I'm going to tell you about it. But first, I want you to go to a link down here of a video that was published yesterday by Rodney Paris. It's called Translation or Transmutation. You need to send this video to people who don't understand the importance of right translation, who maybe think the King James Version is the only version authorized by God. There's so many helpful facts in this video. It's based on an audio I made 25 years ago, and it's so vitally important to understand that if you're going to read the scriptures, if you're going to argue with people about what God said, find out what God said first. It's very important. Obviously, it should go without saying, but it doesn't. Why are there so many translations? Because they're bad ones and good ones. So I'm going to get into that in this video published yesterday. You'll find it down there. So I want you to go to that and send it to people because it just makes sense. Why wouldn't it? Okay, the celestial world. There's a world above our heads that we have not much information about. The reason we want information is because that is our destination. We have very little information about our destination. So we take what little we have in the scriptures about the celestial world, and we only hear about this from Paul, because Israel is concerned with the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And I don't know about you, but I find that every member of the body of Christ is fed up with the earth. Like, we're not earth-oriented. Like, I don't know, I'm not saying you're wrong if you have a garden, but I'm just not an earth guy. I'm not interested in plants and seeds and dirt and soil. It's like I'm made out of the soil, and I'm kind of tired of it. So I'm very interested in the celestial world. So the first thing, I'm gonna give you a shocking verse from 1 Corinthians 4:9. You probably heard me say this before, but you can't talk about this enough because it's shocking. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. For I suppose that God demonstrates with us, the last apostles, as death doomed. Now, when you hear the word apostle, it doesn't necessarily mean the actual agency of an apostle. Like, Paul had apostleship. Like, he had this official thing on him from God that really doesn't exist anymore. But the word itself means one who is sent, a sent one. The mailman is an apostle. He's sent. And so we are apostles in that sense, in that we are sent by God to the world to herald this gospel. And this next sentence, the next statement is shocking. It says we're death doomed. God demonstrates with us, and in this context, he's speaking of himself and Barnabas and Titus and Timothy and Apollos, those great epic teachers of that day. They're death doomed. So how are people of such status in God's eyes death doomed? They're walking around the earth like expatriates, like offscouring of all things. Paul says that in another place, where the offscouring of all things. So he says, God demonstrates with us, the last apostles, as death doomed, for we became a theater to the world and to messengers and to humans. Concordance says messengers, here's angelos. Every other translation makes it angels. He's talking about celestial beings. That's their role. They take messages between earth and God, between various sectors of the universe to God. And Paul says we are a theater to the world and to messengers and to humans. They are watching us. They are watching us. Who's they? The messengers, the angels, the celestial world. They're very interested in what's happening here, because what is being developed on the earth now are the future rulers of the universe, the body of Christ. So they know more about us than we know about us, unless you're plugged in. If you're plugged in, then you know it. But the world doesn't know it. All they know is that we're like this entertainment, because we come across as so foolish sometimes. When people find out what we believe, that we're going to be seated at the right hand of God. I'm going to get to that verse. We're seated at the right hand of God, and that God favors us above all other humans. Everybody's coming in at the end, but we have this special place. But they look at us, and they see the problems that we have, and they see it's almost outrageous what we're saying about ourselves. Jesus Christ had the same problem, so don't feel bad. You know, he's there wandering around with his friends, hanging out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and he claims to be the Son of God. Nothing could more outrageous could fall upon the ears of the religious establishment or the world. And don't you think that when Jesus Christ was on earth, the celestial world was looking in? That was prime theater. That was the biggest thing going on in the universe, was what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was doing on the earth, preparing to deliver the world from sin and death. Don't you think they were watching? Don't you think they have an investment in it? The celestial world does, because what Jesus Christ was going to do on the cross affected their future, affected their life. There's evil and good celestial beings. So now Christ has done his thing. He's up in the celestial world, and now he's nurturing and developing and training those who will become members of his body. So don't you think that they are interested in that? Because we're going to be prime influencers in their future. The word theater, the Greek word is theatron. It's the Greek word translated theater in the concordant version. Listen to this. The prefix thea means gazing, gaze, to look. Tron is place. So theater, the gazing place. They had theaters in Ephesus. We have theaters here. You have a movie theater. Listen to the definition of a theater in the Concordant Dictionary, in the back of the Concordant version. It says this, quote, a place so arranged that many can place their eyes on one point. And this little earth, this little speck in the universe is one point, but all eyes are here, because it is here where the body of Christ is being developed. We're going through our trials. We're being groomed. We're being trained, and they are very interested in it. And no other place. They don't care about Mars. They don't care about Neptune or Venus or the moon or any other thing in the universe. It's happening here, and they're watching us. They know more about us than our relatives do. They know more about us than we ourselves do, because we're instrumental in their future. We're going to be their new bosses. They don't want to piss us off. We're important. We're going to be so important in the next world. It takes faith to understand that, as you consider yourself to be death doomed in this world. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, people ask me all the time, what are we going to be doing when we get there? What are we going to be doing? Well, I'll tell you, if you don't mind, I'll just tell you. Because it's written. In Ephesians 2, I mean, we wish we had more, but we'll take what we can get. There's so few places that really go into detail about this. And it's not much detail, but we got to bring it, every piece of information we can. Paul says, God seats us together in Christ, and also seats us together among the celestials in Christ Jesus. This is a figure of speech called prolepsis, where God calls what is not as though it were. He's speaking as though we are now seated. He seats us together among the celestials, among, in that world. We're not there yet, but it's so sure to happen that God speaks of it as if it already has happened. God can do that because he knows it's going to happen. It's so sure. Listen to me. It's so sure that instead of saying, someday I'm going to seat you among the celestials. No, he says, I seat you among the celestials. You're looking around, wait a minute, I'm in Pennsylvania, or I'm in Florida. I don't feel like I'm seated among the celestials. But it's so sure to happen that we have this beautiful figure of speech that calls what is not as though it were. So it emphasizes the fact that it's so sure to happen that God calls, that says it as if it already has happened. It's done deal. That's how God looks at it. That in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying, oncoming eons, not this eon, in the oncoming eons, God will be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So in the oncoming eons, we're not going to be on the earth. In the oncoming eons, we're going to be in that world because he sees us among the celestials. That's what he just said. Sees us among the celestials. Why? That in the oncoming eons, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace. So one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be display vessels of God's grace. In that God took people so low and so unworthy and elevated them to this place. Just like Paul, God chose the worst sinner on the earth, Saul, to demonstrate his grace. What better foil for the grace of God than a guy who's a raving lunatic, the worst sinner on the planet. And the world is stunned that this man, even Jerusalem was stunned. Peter was stunned. They all heard about this lunatic, Saul. And now God has used him to demonstrate his grace. The same thing that happened with Saul on the earth in the first century is going to happen with the entire body of Christ in the celestials in the oncoming eons. We're going to be display vessels. They're going to see the wisdom and power of God in God's actions toward us. Oh, one more verse along that line. In Ephesians 3, because this is happening now. It doesn't say that in that verse, but in the verse I'm about to give you, it does say it. Say, well, Martin, that's our future. Yeah, in the oncoming eons, he's doing it now. And this ties in with us being a theater. They're watching us. They're more interested in you than anybody else. Everybody else ignoring you. They think you're crazy. But if you want to feel important, if you want to feel a hint of the importance you actually assume in the celestial world, know this. The most powerful beings in the universe are watching what's happening in your life. They're watching you go through your trials. They're laughing at you when you do something stupid, but they know what it's leading toward. They're delighted in a way because the good ones, there's powers of wickedness there, there's powers of good there. The good ones know that the reconciliation of the universe will start when we are completed and snatched away. That's when it will start. They're waiting for it. All creation is on tiptoe. J.B. Phillips translation, Romans 8:20. All creation is on tiptoe to see the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. They're waiting to see it. They're on tiptoe. That tells me that it's about to happen. So I end with this verse, Ephesians 3, starting with verse 8. This is Paul, and it goes along with death doomed. Listen to this. This is Paul, the great apostle. To me, less than the least of all the saints, because he was out killing people who believed in Jesus Christ. To me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel, the well message, the gospel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, not to Israel. No. To the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid of the nations. To bring the evangel, the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret. That is, the working out of it. This thing is a practical kingdom in the celestials. It's going to be administered. And we are going to be the future administrators of it. As to what is the administration of the secret, which has been concealed, this truth about us has been concealed until Paul, concealed from the eons in God, who creates all, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons, which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want a loaded scripture statement? How's that one? That now may be made known to the sovereignties, the authorities among the celestials. Ephesians 3:8, among the celestials, same phrase as Ephesians 2:6. He seats us among the celestials. These same beings are now learning something of the multifarious wisdom of God as they look upon us as the center point of this gazing place. They are now. This doesn't wait until the oncoming eons, because they're now gazing and seeing something of the wisdom of God. How? In God's opinion and actions toward us. So they're not only gazing, they're not only just looking on like for entertainment purposes. They are learning right now something about the grace of God in the way he deals with us. And then that bears fruit. Ephesians 2, 6 through 8. That will bear fruit in the oncoming eons. But it's already started. It's already started. It's happening right now as I talk to you. You're important already. And we need these verses. God knows. God knew we need these verses. This isn't Paul talking to us. This is God telling us this. God is telling us this. He's using Paul as a medium. Kind of hijacked Paul to tell us this. Paul wrote this down. We have it today, 2,000 years later, preserved. For our encouragement, to help us keep going, to realize that we're such a vital part of God's plan that the entire celestial world is looking in on it. Because their future, their happiness, their peace depends on our perfection. And it waits for our perfection. And as soon as we're all perfected, we're changed in an instant in the casting of an eye at the last trump.